My name is Jackie Lamport. Today is Thursday, December 2nd. Welcome to the Capital Daily Podcast. Today on the show.
It could be 50,000 hectares of the 2.6 million that won't be deferred whether First Nations agree or not because it's not standing.
Yesterday, the Union of BC Indian Chiefs held a press conference to express their issues with the deadline given to First Nations for proposed old growth deferrals. And today, the Wilderness Committee has released new mapping to reflect logging in the deferral blocks. And some data shows logging has already happened in some of these areas. We speak to both groups to hear their concerns. Today's Capital Daily Podcast is brought to you by the Victoria Symphony. Revel in the Christmas spirit and find your joy with the Victoria Symphony's Musical December. Celebrate the holiday season, renew old traditions, and enjoy new spins on holiday classics with something for everyone on your Christmas list. Visit victoriasymphony.ca/holiday for more information. If you're enjoying the Capital Daily Podcast and you're thinking, wow, how can I support this? Well, it's easy. All you have to do is rate and review on the app that you're listening to right now, or you can support Capital Daily as a whole by checking out our membership opportunity at capitaldaily.ca/member. Yesterday, the Union of British Columbia Indian Chiefs held a press conference to address their concerns with the lack of support from the provincial governments over the old growth deferrals announced November 2nd. In that November 2nd announcement, the NDP government announced updated maps better reflecting the current old growth within the province, updated definitions on the different classifications of old growth, deferrals on logging for 2.6 million hectares of old growth forests, transitionary supports for communities impacted by the deferrals, and the approval from the First Nations communities whose land is implicated, among other things. But there have been some issues with the actions. Yesterday, at the UBCIC press conference, the group raised concerns over the 30-day deadline for the First Nations to respond, given that the government had 18 months of deliberation to reach their decisions. They also expressed frustrations with the fact that the government is looking for consent over deferrals, but not logging. Today, the Wilderness Committee has followed up on the UBCIC by releasing updated mapping that better reflects the logging situation in these potential deferral areas. In their data collection, they've also found that in some instances, logging has already happened in the areas the government has listed as potential for deferral. So today we'll speak to the National Campaign Advisor for the Wilderness Committee, Torrance Cost, to get a better understanding of what their new data shows. But first, we'll speak with Grand Chief Stuart Phillip, the UBCIC president, to hear more about their concerns with the provincial government. We also reached out to the Ministry of Forests, Lands, Natural Resource Operations, and Rural Development. We have yet to receive a response, but we'll update if we do. Here's Grand Chief Stuart Phillip. Grand Chief, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
What was your initial reaction to the 30-day deadline?
Well, I think the whole... somewhat deceitful announcement was disturbing. Clearly, the John Horgan ran on the promise of protecting and preserving old growth forestry. And we all voted to support him in regard to that very serious commitment, given the precarious state of old growth forestry in British Columbia. And we know that old growth forest logging is continuing at an alarming rate in spite of these grandiose announcements on the part of the Horgan government. And we object to that. We take issue with that. And we would like to see a moratorium on all old growth logging until such time the province has had the opportunity through substantive and significant consultation with all of the parties to bring forward a revamped Forestry Act and policy framework that addresses not only the old growth logging issue, but the precarious state of BC forest lands vis-a-vis the massive clear cuts and the wildfire damage done to hundreds of thousands of acres of forest lands.
Mm-hmm. So right now you'd say that there hasn't been significant consultation?
No, there hasn't. As is the practice of the Horgan government, they just show up at their own press conference and make these grandiose announcements. And we have been attempting to establish a substantive dialogue in regard to the, you know, the larger issue of the devastation of forest lands throughout British Columbia, including old growth forest stands.
Mm-hmm. This most recent announcement was the November 2nd one, but according to the UBCIC release, the First Nations are still lacking support from the government. Can you explain that?
The issue here is with their grandiose announcement that they timed to run concurrent to COP26, they made a grandiose announcement that misled people into believing there was a deferral of all logging mm-hmm. on 2.6 million acres of old growth. Clearly, that is not the case. As we speak, logging continues within those forest stands, and what the government announced was some convoluted notion of engagement with First Nations. And very ludicrously, they provided a 30-day time frame without any resourcing whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
And the alarming thing is, as we speak, old growth logging continues in British Columbia.
In the release that UBCIC put out, there was also criticism that the government gave First Nations only 30 days to make decisions on something that they had 18 months to deliberate. Is that's something that you are concerned about, I guess?
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's nothing short of bizarre. On the one hand, they're saying they need our consent to move forward with these potential deferrals. But when it comes to old growth logging, they completely bypass their obligation to gain our consent to support those logging operations. It's very hypocritical. And now we're seeing these wonderful Disney-esque TV ads suggesting the British Columbia government is very, very progressive, defending old growth logging, when again, it continues as we speak.
Mm-hmm.
We want it stopped. We want it stopped.
Yeah, like you said, the government is looking for your consent when it comes to the deferrals, but not the logging. That's correct?
Yes.
Okay. So then, are you concerned with the logging that's ongoing and then also the areas that you are supposed to be deciding on?
Yes, absolutely. Deeply concerned. You know, and that's why we find this so insidious, so deceitful, so misleading. British Columbians at large think, oh my goodness, British Columbia has deferred logging on 2.6 million. We have these wonderful TV ads to watch while we eat dinner, and yet the devastation continues unabated.
What do you want from the NDP government right now? If you were speaking to John Horgan, what would you say?
We would tell him what we have been telling him. The forest lands of British Columbia are in a deplorable state. There hasn't been a proper inventory done for 30 or 40 years. The province continues to issue permits to logging companies that are out there absolutely clear-cutting the landscape. And we need to have a complete redo of the Forestry Act and the policy framework that is keyed to ecosystem planning and takes into consideration the climate crisis. That's what we need.
And then lastly, there are some nations that have embraced the deferral decisions that they're making. And that one of those is the Huayot First Nation, who has now released their intentions to protect or defer 96% of the old growth within their territory. Would you say that you represent all First Nations, or is there still conversations among First Nations in the province?
Well, there are conversations ongoing. As most people know and understand, First Nations are in dire situations of poverty. Consequently, industry preys on that poverty with First Nations and solicits their active support in clear-cutting, in oil and gas pipelines, in mining ventures. You know, it's a very unethical approach to take advantage of our poverty. But the fact remains that it's the land, it's the environment, and it's the old growth logging that is the issue here. And it matters little who's carrying the power saw, whether the face is brown or whether the face is white. We want those logging operations stopped until such time as we have a proper plan in place. And so far, the province has not offered up such a plan. They have not engaged the comprehensive consultation of all parties to bring forward that type of legislation. The clear-cut logging is and does contribute to flooding, to mudslides and rock slides, and so on and so forth. That's an undeniable fact.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for joining the podcast. I really appreciate your voice on this.
Okay, thank you.
And now, National Campaign Director for the Wilderness Committee, Torrence Cost. Torrence, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me again.
No worries. Okay, so let's start with this. What prompted the Wilderness Committee to put out new mapping?
It was the first question that we had when we learned a month ago on November 2nd that the province was planning to defer 2.6 million hectares of old growth, but that it wouldn't be immediate. The point of deferrals is that they come into effect and they stop trees from falling down right now. That's not the approach that the government has taken, and that's been our main frustration through this process. This is a live, dynamic problem akin to, you know, a house on fire, and planning to solve it down the road is accepting a whole bunch of damage in the meantime. So we wanted to get a rough idea of what we're looking at. And so once the government released the shape files and the data to show these areas where they're looking to pursue deferrals in, we overlaid that with cut block data that's also provincially available and calculated the overlap.
Okay. Now, the government also puts out mapping based on like what they consider old growth and all of that. Does your mapping often differ from the government's?
There's a lot of inconsistency, but that was the biggest improvement from the November 2nd announcement. Prior to that, the government had essentially taken a quantity, not quality approach. They'd lumped all old growth as kind of being the same, whereas the public fuss, you know, the big conflict is over the most productive forests that grow the biggest trees, that contain the richest biodiversity, and that are at risk from an ecological standpoint. So the numbers of remaining old growth, finally, that was valuable work that the technical advisory panel did. And with the government adapting that approach, we're anticipating much less disagreement with government in terms of what's left. Now we still have to have the bigger fight of what to do with it.
From this mapping, with all this new data, what were some of the biggest takeaways for you?
A lot of the logging data has huge lag times. So cut blocks are listed as active, for sometimes several years. And, you know, for most of that, they're in some form of being logged, right? Either the trees are coming down right now, or the trees have been logged and they're sitting on the block, or they've recently been removed. But the blocks aren't marked as sort of complete or finished, and for quite a while after. And so, the takeaway, it's really hard to judge, you know, how much of of the old growth that has been earmarked for deferral has been logged already, and how much is poised to be logged in the months ahead if it's not deferred. But the big takeaway is we're really comfortable to say tens of thousands, probably as much as 50,000, maybe more hectares of the 2.6 million hectares of old growth that the province has looked at for deferrals has either been approved for logging or is pending approval for logging. And that's extremely frustrating, A, because that's not all the old growth logging, right? There's there's logging still happening in the old growth forest that wasn't highlighted for deferral, and then in second and third growth forests as well. So the forests earmarked for deferrals are the most sensitive old growth, pockets of old growth spread across the province. And the fact that, you know, tens of thousands of hectares of old growth is still happening within that, right? We're talking four times the area of the city of Vancouver is still slated to happen is really frustrating. Our critique this whole time is that the government, the BC NDP government, has talked up a really big game on old growth, but they haven't actually changed anything yet on the ground. And that's what this mapping shows. It sort of reiterates that frustration that a lot of people hold.
Mm-hmm. In your release, you also point to the Kaikous forest and the blockades that were going on there. That forest is already gone.
That's right. And the Kaikous Valley is one of particular heartbreak for me. This is a valley on southwestern Vancouver Island in the territory of the Dididat First Nation. The river flows into Nitnat Lake right at the community of Dididat. And most of this valley has been logged at some point in the last 50 years or so. There's one kind of top corner of it where up until a couple years ago, there was one of the most extensive tracts of old growth forest left anywhere that I know on the coast. In 2019, a massive cut block was approved right sort of in the heart of it. The road was punched through, and that logging was where the photographer TJ Watt shot his before and after series that have gone viral around the world. These massive 15-foot trees, 15-foot wide at the base trees, where he got the shot of the tree, and then a couple months later, the shot of the stump. We warned the past forest minister that this would happen. Then it did happen. The cut blocks around it, there's five cut blocks right around this massive block, and they were planned last winter. And we warned the current forest minister, look, you know, this is very likely the at-risk old growth that the old growth strategic review panel recommended deferral of. Logging is being planned in there. And if you continue to wait on this, it's going to fall while we're all talking. And that's not a paradigm shift. That's the definition of the existing paradigm. Government didn't really see our concerns there, and what we predicted absolutely came true. Those cut blocks were applied for. They were approved. As soon as they were approved, the Kaikous blockades were set up, and maybe I believe the arrest there got around 100, maybe just over 100 people over the course of a couple of weeks. It's where enforcement started. It actually, the Ferry Creek blockades, the first arrests weren't at Ferry Creek. They were in the Kaikous. And some of these were these dramatic tree sit arrests where the RCMP was extracting brave land offenders from hundreds of feet up in trees. And those platforms they'd installed in trees that were in cut blocks that never would have been approved had the BC government deferred logging in at-risk forests right away, as the original panel told them to. So it's extremely heartbreaking. It's extremely frustrating. I've walked in these blocks. The forests are indescribable in terms of how beautiful they are, how old they are. And the fact that they were, you know, standing earlier this year and they're gone now. And this has happened so fast, the government's maps can't even keep up with it. It's still listed as old growth to be deferred. And so this is just one tiny corner of one valley. How many places is this playing out across BC? How much of the 2.6 million hectares of old growth will never be deferred because it's not going to be there by the time the province gets around to it?
I just want to highlight something that you had said there, and that's that this is an example of lag where in the government database it still shows that it's standing and could be deferred. So that's part of the deferrals that the government was proposing. but that doesn't even exist.
That's right. That's right. And that's a huge question that we have. It could be 50,000 hectares of the 2.6 million that again won't be deferred, whether First Nations agree or not, because it's not standing. And so again, you know, we, as soon as you make a map of old growth in BC, it's out of date the day you make it, mm-hmm. because old growth is falling every day. And so, you know, the process, this endless process of being recommended to do a paradigm shift and then taking 18 months to even assess where the at-risk old growth forest is, and then further delays on deferrals. This is classic talk and log, and it's why there's so little old growth left. It's why there's so much conflict and controversy around this. And the government needs to get it together. You know, you don't plan, you know, a fire department doesn't stop fighting fires while it updates its, you know, protocols and procedures, right? It keeps putting the fires out. In order to meaningfully address the crisis in old growth, the government needs to hit the brakes right now. We need to figure out what we have, what's left out there. And that's what deferrals should do. For governments to hold them up as this big kind of grand end game and hold it to the standard of consent in terms of Indigenous rights when they don't do the same for logging, it's a stall tactic, and too much is being lost in the meantime, and it's why their approach on old growth, you know, for all the promises and commitments, it's really not different on the ground than what we've seen for decades in this province.
Mm-hmm. And to clarify, so the spots that the government put up for potential deferral, which they were consulting with the First Nations and giving the First Nations the opportunity to say yes, we would like to defer these or not, those areas, there are potentially still areas within that being logged right now.
Yeah, that's right. So the vast majority of them, actually. So about a fifth. We also our mapping analysis assesses exactly how much of the proposed old growth deferrals fall within the operating areas of BC Timber Sales, which is the government's own logging agency. BC Timber Sales controls about a fifth of all logging in BC, and so we generally assumed that about a fifth of the target deferral area would fall within BCTS, and that assumption has proved to be right. We found about 550,000 hectares of the proposed deferral area, which again is about one fifth of the 2.6 million, fall within BCTS. So it's our understanding that those areas are in effect immediately for BC Timber Sales. The deferrals, any planned logging, so any roads or cut blocks that have already been auctioned off to companies, that's how BC Timber Sales does its logging. Those will go ahead, but no new roads or cut blocks will be planned in BC Timber Sales. So this is kind of an interesting aside. You know, the government has said the reason all the deferrals aren't effective immediately is because they need to get agreement from First Nations. They didn't hold their own agency to that standard, right? It's not like Indigenous nations have less rights depending on what kind of forest tenure it is. Indigenous rights are Indigenous rights. So the fact that the BC government is requiring agreement for private tenure and not for its own logging agency, it seems like this is a lot less about respecting the rights of First Nations and a lot more about fear of stepping on the toes of logging companies.
So you're saying that the logging that could potentially happen or potentially already is happening might not be stopped because of these deferrals if it was already granted?
That's just for BC Timber Sales. So again, the total deferral target is 2.6 million hectares. Of that, one fifth is in BC Timber Sales, and four fifths is in other forms of tenure, usually held by private companies, sometimes by First Nations or communities. In the four fifths, if there's logging planned but it hasn't gone ahead, the province has said if First Nations agree to the deferrals, that's it, the work stops. Right.
Okay.
But they've said for BC Timber Sales, it's kind of the opposite. They said on any approved work will go ahead, but any new work won't, regardless. Like, they're not waiting for agreement from First Nations. They're just issuing that directive to their agency right away. And so that's an interesting piece. I imagine it's because of the way the bidding system works with BC Timber Sales. If they have planned cut blocks and put them up for auction, it means they've sunk money into that and they've factored in the amount of money that they're likely to get for that auction into their budgeting, right? And so they're kind of they've already budgeted for that money. So I believe that's why they would go ahead and auction them off. So yes, in BC Timber Sales, the logging that is planned, we understand will go ahead. We netted those areas out of our totals for BC Timber Sales. So in addition to that, in addition to the areas that are already essentially gone, lots of them might actually physically be gone and other areas might be logged in the weeks and months ahead. In addition to all of that, there's 550,000 hectares of the deferral area that overlaps with BC Timber Sales. So that's essentially what the province can truthfully claim they've deferred to date, which isn't insignificant. 500,000 hectares, that's about 1/6 the size of Vancouver Island, spread across the province. So it's a substantial area. The government deserves credit for that, but it's what should have been the case with all 2.6 million hectares, not just the part they had direct control over.
Okay, so there's good and bad within that specifically, in that the government did go ahead and automatically defer the area which they could, or they potentially could because it was public, but they also didn't consult the First Nations on that specifically.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And more concerning than that, they didn't provide funding and resources to make it possible. Many Indigenous groups, such as the Union of BC Indian Chiefs, are saying, look, deferrals aren't permanent land use changes, and so they should have been immediate. That's the way that I understood them as the original Old Growth Strategic Review Panel laid them out. We're never going to permanently change land use without say so from Indigenous nations, and nor should we, right? Taking forests and changing them from areas that can be logged to areas that can't, that needs to be done in a nation to nation way. But that's not what deferrals are. Deferrals are 2-year holds to create the space, 2-year pauses to create the space for those conversations to happen. And so what we're calling for, and again, you know, we join groups like the UBCIC in this call, is for immediate deferral of all at-risk old growth with funding and with compensation for any lost revenue, right? So that it's not costing nations anything to accept these deferrals, so that they have the resources to commit staff and do the research to look at what permanent protection of the old growth in their territory would mean to them, for them. The province is not providing that help and that support. And so essentially they're ignoring the economic barriers to moving towards old growth protection. And as long as they're doing that, it can't be said that they're seriously trying to turn the page on old growth in this province.
Mm-hmm. And I want to focus in on that 2-year deferral, because you're saying that this is just a 2-year, okay, we're going to wait and see what we should actually do with that, or we're going to investigate in this situation what we're actually going to do. But 2 years isn't a lot of time when you compare it to the amount of time that it took to come to the decision about deferrals themselves. So is that even a realistic timeline for all these areas?
I mean, the province appears to be, you know, playing to their audience on this. You know, depending on where they talk, if you listen to a cabinet minister, you know, go on like a CBC show in the interior or in logging country, you know, they say, hey, these are just 2-year deferrals to keep our options open, right? Whereas if those same ministers and certainly MLAs, you know, in the coast or in cities like Victoria or Vancouver, or, you know, in instances when they know the vast majority of the public that wants to see old growth protected is watching, they speak of the deferrals with much more permanence, right? Mm-hmm. And in fact, when the initial round, the problematic initial round of deferrals that didn't actually include that much at-risk old growth were announced in September 2020, the government came right out and said the P word, right? They said protected, you know, and then that's not what deferrals are. So I believe under the legislative act that the deferrals are done under, it's called Section 13 of the Forest Act. I believe they can be deferred for 2 years and then extended for a further 2 years before any compensation is owed to the licensee. So they can be extended, you know, for up to 4 years for free and then more if the government will pay. There's definitely some concern to that, and how serious government is about eventually shifting those areas from protected areas from deferral areas to protected areas. That remains to be seen. And again, you know, the only excuse for taking as long as they are is if they are permanent, right? In which case they're not going about it the right way with First Nations, right? So the whole point of deferrals is that they're quick, and they, in order to properly protect old growth permanently, that is a process that's going to take years. The problem is, this late in the game, we don't have years in mm-hmm. most areas where there's old growth. You know, it needs to happen faster than that. That's the whole point of deferrals. And every day that the government delays implementing them, that argument, that case for them as a mechanism gets weaker. And I think they risk losing more and more of the public on this. So they're really playing a dangerous game by holding up an option that, which by the very definition of the word deferrals, isn't permanent, and holding it up as something that needs to take as long as they're making it take.
The last question that I wanted to ask you is slightly off topic, but it's definitely relevant right now, and it's also something that the Union of BC Indian Chiefs noted in their release yesterday. How does old growth logging impact flooding in BC?
Yeah, I mean, that's a really great question, a really relevant question. Old growth logging and logging more generally, it's the scale, right? It's the amount of forest cover that we've removed, and the Google time lapse kind of programs that show like the development of logging over time. You have valleys where you know, huge chunks of the huge percentages of the landscape have been removed, right? Second growth or old growth or even third growth. Logging, and increasingly we're seeing wildfires take forests off the land in the same way. The effect is kind of twofold. So intact ecosystem, especially intact native ecosystems like forests, as opposed to, say, a tree plantation of a single species, they are the best ecosystems in the world at buffering the impacts of climate change. So mm-hmm. no matter where you are in the world, the impacts of climate change are going to be mitigated a little bit more if there's native ecosystems intact, right? In some parts of the world, that means grasslands or wetlands. Here on the west coast of North America, that means temperate rainforest. These ecosystems slow the flow of water. They absorb water. They slow its release into rivers and streams, and decreasing the likelihood that they'll overflow. They cool things in the summer in heat waves, and they generally stabilize and have more resilience to big fluctuations in weather. That's sort of the, if you look at it as sort of the shield that they provide against climate change. When it comes to old growth specifically, they're also, to stick with that metaphor, a sword in the fight against it. They draw carbon out of the atmosphere and store it more than younger forests do, and certainly more than clear cuts do. So one of the biggest things we can do in this part of the world to limit the amount of carbon dioxide that's going into the atmosphere is keep these massive old growth trees and these extremely rich, diverse forests standing. And so when we cut down an old growth forest, we're taking away our best offense and our best defense against climate change and its impacts, the likes of which we're seeing this month in BC.
Torrence, thank you so much again.
Of course, anytime. Thank you.
And if you want to help support Capital Daily's local journalism and connect your business with our engaged and curious Greater Victoria audience of over 50,000, you can email our partnerships team at advertising@capitaldaily.ca. Thank you so much for joining us today. If you enjoyed the podcast, please leave a rating and a review, and also subscribe so that you don't miss any episodes going forward. We post new shows every Monday to Friday. My name is Jackie Lamports. This is the Capital Daily Podcast. We'll talk to you tomorrow.